I want to preach a little message tonight, and I call it that on purpose, a little message, called How Long Has It Been? How Long Has It Been? And in, to do that, I wish you'd turn back over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, if you will. I want to review a verse that I read in your hearing this morning. It's the last verse in chapter 31. It says, "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." I want to ask you the initial question. How long has it been since you put your whole heart into serving God? Your whole heart into loving God? Your whole heart into the things of God? How long has it been? Now, at this point, I guess all of us could put on our most innocent who-me look if we wanted to. But we all know how this really works. We all know how easy it is to put less than your whole heart into the things of God. And so, just to plant that thought in your mind, I want to leave it right there for just a moment and ask you how long it's been about some other things. You know, we miss a lot because we let it let a long time pass in between the times we do the best things in life. For example, how long has it been since you stopped and really looked at one of the wonders of nature? This morning when I left to go out to church, I went driving in my little four-cylinder car as fast as I could go up my driveway. I was in a hurry, as usual. Do you ever get in a hurry? And I was in a hurry, as usual. And my eye just fell over to the left side there, and I saw the sole surviving Bradford pear that we have in the front of our house. And if you've watched yours, if you still have one left, they die pretty quickly. But if you still have one left, you probably notice that the buds are beginning to open. And for years now, I've been curious about those things. I have wondered how those things manage to just burst into bloom, it seems, overnight, and create this display that is just unparalleled. They're just so beautiful. And I said when I left this morning, I want to stop and look at one of those buds and just see what it looks like. How long has it been since you've just stopped and looked at something because you knew that God had created it and it was a magnificent little work of God's nature, God's creation? Well, I raced past it this morning and resisted the urge to stop my truck and go look at that, at one of those buds on that Bradford pear, though I saw that I had caught it at that rare moment when it was just beginning to burst out and show itself to be the beautiful creation that it really is. Well, this afternoon, as I was thinking and about this message, I thought, "Oh, Rebecca is down there at the hospital, and I haven't seen the baby." And I told him to call me, and Abel had called me. "Hello, Pastor." And he had told me about the baby, told me the name. And so I thought, I just got to go down there. I want to see the baby. I want to see Abel's face as he has that proud papa moment, you know. And so anyway, I went flying up halfway up the driveway, and I glanced over there at that Bradford pear. And I had that moment of decision. How long since you stopped and done something that didn't make a lick of sense at the time? Stopped when you knew you needed to go somewhere and stopped and did what you really needed to do. Does that make sense? Anyway, and so I stopped my truck and got out, left the truck running, and I went over there and I looked at that bud bloom pod. I don't even know what you call that thing, but it's the bloom pod of the bulb. And I found out something. It's not just one thing. There are 12 different little pods that explode all at the same time. At least there was 12 on the one that I looked at. No wonder it makes this magnificent display. And as I looked there, I grabbed that thing and just kind of held it up and turned it this way and that way. And then my eye was just taken and drawn away at all the gazillion of those big buds that were on that tree. And I stopped and I thought, my, God, You are so magnificent. You created all this, and it's not just this way on my tree, but it's this way over in Derek and Lorraine's yard too. And it's this way over in Mark's yard and over in Josh's yard and all these other places. You've done that. How long has it been since you stopped and looked at one of the nature's wonders? You used to do it, didn't you? When you still had the genius of childhood. See, the genius of childhood is to know what's really important. To stop and look at what really needs to be looked at. I remember being in the first grade. And yes, I can remember that. And yes, they did have a first grade back then. But I remember being in the first grade and the bus would stop. This was back when you didn't get all the personal service that you get now. The bus would stop up at the main road there, the South Expressway, coming out of Atlanta and going down toward Clayton County where I live. And the bus would stop there and would let us, a gazillion of us kids, off at the same stop right there. And I would walk down Morrow Industrial Boulevard with all the other little hoodlums, and we would be walking down through there, and there was this certain place where the coolers for the Atlanta Motel that we lived back in behind, you know, when you're poor and all, you have to live behind something, and so we lived back in behind the Atlanta Motel, and there was a certain place there where this spider had built its web. It was a magnificent web, and an even more magnificent spider. He was all black. And on his huge back that he would always turn thoughtfully toward me were these brilliant yellow or golden stripes and markings on that spider. I at one time knew the name of that spider because I looked it up, but I don't remember now. What now? Don't tell me that was a garden spider. Surely it was something more prosaic than that. No? Anyway, I would look at that spider, and I remember there for a whole season, I would get off that bus, I would walk down to that spider, and I would stop and look at that spider for several minutes. I always had time to look at that spider. He was growing all the time. I wanted to see how big he was that day. If the markings were the same, if the web had grown any. I was just curious about that. How long has it been? And by the way, I enjoyed that. Do you remember enjoying little things like that? How long has it been since you've enjoyed some little thing like that? How long has it been, to utterly change the subject, since you and your wife had a date? How long has it been? I know. A date, by the way, is not passing occasionally in the hallway. That is not a date. Maybe I ought to leave that one. How long has it been since you called someone who was a blessing to you in the past just to thank them? Not when you needed something, but just to thank them for what they did. How long has it been? Mike, I remember years ago when, Ricky had not been on staff very long here at the church, and Life Action Ministries had a pastor's conference down in Atlanta. They were having it at one of these really swanky downtown hotels. And Mike and Debbie came up to Bonnie and myself and Ricky and Andrea, and said, look, we'd like to pay for you guys to go down there and attend that conference. And, of course, I'd never stayed in a hotel like that in my life, you know. Motel 6 was an extravagance for us. And so, I was just stunned by it. They said, we want you to hear about what God's doing in revival. That was really my one of my first exposures to real revival. And so they came, they did, they paid for all that. But as I thought about it, Mike, I can't remember whether I ever thanked you and Debbie or not. I was kind of hoping she would be here tonight, so I'll tell you. But God bless you for what you did. I'm ashamed that I never called you and told you that. How long has it been since you called someone up or talked to someone or went to someone and said, thank you. I remember what you did. I remember what you did. How long has it been? By the way, this does get to Scripture at some point here. How long has it been since you sung the Lord a song? You just sang it to Him. Did you know that there are 16 different times in the Word of God where it says, sing unto the Lord? I looked at them yesterday, and the majority of those mentions of that phrase are in the imperative. It is a command where God says, sing me a song. How long has it been since you, and most of us have to be in really private circumstances to do this, how long has it been since you sung the Lord a song? He loves your voice. He would not ask for it 13 or 16 times if He didn't want to hear you sing a song. How long has it been since you've sung the Lord a song? Oh, sing, Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. 16 times He says that. How long has it been since you made homemade ice cream and brought it to the preacher? How long has it been? How long has it been since you called your mother or your dad? I know I can feel the pain coming from some of you. You're thinking, oh, would God that I could. But those of you who still can, how long has it been since you called your mother and just talked to her? Called your dad, just talked to him? How long has it been since you picked up a child who is too big to be picked up? I don't know where that arbitrary standard comes from. Too big to be picked up. What does that mean anyway? I gave that point there, that particular question, is dedicated to my wife, who picked up our children until their feet dragged the floor while she was carrying them. They were only about 11 months old then when they... New joke, come on. You like that one? Okay. I was in the hallway this past Friday after the ladies' Friday morning prayer meeting, and Ellie Kate came around the corner. Is she up here? Ah, where is she? Ah, hello, Butterbean. And she came around the corner and said, Papa, pick me up. Well, it was Friday morning, and I had a gazillion things to do, and I had one of those moments that parents and grandparents have. Am I going to blow this kid off, or am I going to pick her up? And I looked down at her, and I thought, you know, she's gotten bigger. Big child now. She's gotten bigger. I thought, am I going to pick her up or not? And then it wasn't too long till I got to thinking about Casey. I knew Casey would be coming around the corner in just a moment. And I thought, you know what I would give to still pick Casey up. But Matt would object. What I'd give. Well, needless to say, I picked Ellicate up. I hauled her around for a while. You know, I think we miss a lot of the best things in life because it's been too long since we've done them. So how long has it been since you put your whole heart into the things of God? How long has it been? You know, Hezekiah, as I look at him, I see a very fulfilled man. I've been preaching about him now for several weeks. He is a man who saw not just his duty, but he saw his duty and the right thing as the source of joy in his life. You know, there is an opposite to wholehearted. And the opposite to wholehearted, if you think about this for just a moment, is not no-hearted, but the opposite of wholehearted is half-hearted. See, we either give wholehearted service to God or we only give half-hearted service to God. And if we give... See, there is no joy in half-hearted anything, is there? How must God look at half-hearted service? Years ago, an incident happened that I think illustrates this very well. If you were a Atlanta Braves fan back in the 90s, as were, so many of us were, when they were so good, if you couldn't wait for them to come on television, as so many of us couldn't wait for them to come on, you remember Bobby Cox and how he managed that team. You remember those great players who came through. You remember all of that. It was just a whole lot of fun. It was a great time to live around Atlanta. But I remember that sometime in that period, the Braves got this young player who had all the tools, all the gifts in the world. His name was Andrew Jones. I remember his name for two reasons. One, he came from, I think, the island of Curacao. I'm not sure about that, but somewhere down in the Caribbean. And I remember that because he spelled his name funny. Andrew was A-N-D-R-U-W. Now, figure that one out, if you will. A-N-D-R-U-W. All the gifts in the world. Andrew Jones could just piddle around out in the outfield and chase balls down out there that nobody else could get to. Had such incredible speed, such incredible gifts. But the problem was that one day he decided he would just fiddle around down in, out in the outfield. He was out there and he sloughed off. And he didn't run hard after this ball that was hit out there. He didn't throw it in quickly. And the next thing you knew, the cameraman was confused who was filming that. And suddenly it flashed from the big overhead scene down to a little spot in between first base and second base. Bobby Cox had gone out on the field and gotten time called, and he was standing out there in deep around deep second base. And he was out there glaring at Andrew Jones, who had just not hustled and had goofed off in the play. And I remember watching Bobby Jones. This is imprinted in my mind. As he was looking out there and glaring at him, he said, lips stuck out. He said, he pulled him out of the game in the middle of the inning. Some of you may remember that. He sent somebody else in. He said, nobody is going to play for me that way. You're going to give me everything you've got. You're going to give this team everything you've got, or you're not going to play. Bobby Cox was irate at someone who was playing half-heartedly. Now, was Bobby Cox better at being a baseball manager than God is at being God? Think about that just a moment. How do you think God up in heaven feels when we are half-hearted in our service to God? How does He feel? I sure hope He doesn't pull me out in the middle of the inning. That might be pleasant. But I'm sure God is unpleasant, but I'm sure God is displeased with that. I'm sure it causes unhappiness before God when He sees us half-hearted. But that's just part of it. Because not only does it make God feel just a grief in His heart, but beloved, it's not pleasant for us either. You get no joy out of half-hearted service. Those of you who teach Sunday school, do you get any joy out of going in there and teaching a half-prepared lesson? Do you get any joy out of half-praying, just half-heartedly praying, just kind of to get it done? Well, it's just kind of the time for that. I'll half-heartedly pray. Is there any joy in that? There really isn't, is it? No joy in half-praying. You know, last Wednesday night, my attention had been drawn to this pastor over in Iran who had a death sentence passed on him for preaching the gospel, for converting from Islam to Christianity, from Allah to Jesus. And they passed the death sentence. My heart was just broken about that. I brought his picture into the Wednesday night service and I flashed it up on the screen there. And I let our people just look at it. Well, what I had hoped would happen actually happened. And they got such a burden for him. When we split up, I took the men downstairs. I've seldom heard such passionate prayers go up to God. God, will You help this man? God, will You get the glory in this? God, would You... and just passionate prayers. Can I tell you something? I strongly suspect that those men went out of that prayer meeting saying, that's what ought to happen. Not half-hearted praying, but whole-hearted praying. There's just a joy, a satisfaction in it that doesn't come any other way. This is illustrated in so many things. If you give your whole heart to it, there's just something fulfilling about it. I think the most insane people in all the world must be marathon runners. They run 26 miles on purpose. What makes those people tick? Why would you want to do that? Run 26 miles. Human beings weren't designed to run that far. Horses, maybe. Dogs. But human beings, 26 miles. You know what I suspect? I suspect that those runners experience the joy of giving everything they have to God. Or excuse me, to what they're doing. Just like you and I would experience a joy that we possibly never experienced by giving everything to God. By giving our soul, all of our energy. Have you ever spent a day that was totally dedicated to God? Every moment of it. Have you ever just given Him a whole day? If truth were known, I wonder how many believers think maybe Sunday comes a little too often. Where you have to, you know, I wonder about that. Look, if you will, back in the previous chapter at verse 30, or chapter 30 at verse 23. Judah has just observed this wonderful first Passover since the temple doors were reopened. It has been a glorious time. The Passover and the accompanying things have gone on for about 8 days. And so, after those 8 days are over, they've had such a glorious time. They've appreciated it because they haven't gotten to do it in a long time. And so in verse 23, an astonishing thing happens. It says, and the whole assembly took counsel, now look at this, to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. Now, let me bring this up into our day. What would be the parallel in our day? The parallel would be for us to have church for 7, 8 days in a row. And not just in the 11 to 12 hour, but to have church intermittently all day long. And get up the next morning and start all over again and have it all day long. And then the next day, all day long. And where there was teaching and all that going on. And then get to the end of that and have everybody so excited about it that all y'all get together and you say, let's do it some more. Let's have church for another 7 days. And then you do it for another 7 days. And then at the end of those 7 days, you say, boy, that was fun. I know they said that because it says they did it with gladness. Boy, that was fun. Do you remember what some people cynically call the cage stage? When you first got saved, or when you were at that point where you were at your red hottest for God, when you just had such joy in your life, you remember those days? Years ago, a man in our church in Covington, back when I was a kid preacher, had been kind of one of the hard cases in the community. And he was probably doing that to defend his name. His name was Adele Digby. You got a name like Adele Digby, and you probably need to change it or get ready to fight a lot or whatever, you know. But he got saved. And I had, you know, you kind of forget how exciting just the things we take for granted are to somebody when they first get saved. And he would, after I would finish preaching, or I was associate then, or the pastor had finished preaching, he'd come up and say, why'd you quit? Just thought I'd throw that one in. Why'd you quit? And then I was talking to him one day, and this guy had this wonderful sense of humor. He would talk about his old car, and he'd say, you know what's such a waste of money? He said, changing oil. He said, I never change my oil. You might mess something up in there. You got something that's running good? You don't want to mess with it. He didn't mean that. He would just keep talking until he got some kind of rise out of you. And then he'd say, this car, I tell you, this is the best car I ever had. I'm afraid if I change the oil, it's going to mess it up. He just kept talking. He said, I'm just going to not do that. Don't mess with a good thing. You got it going. He said, this thing will start. He said, it's the startest thing I ever saw in my life. He said, all I have to do is walk up here and shake the door and it'll start. That was Adele Digby. But that same guy said, Brother Tom, I just wish we could have church every day. He had just gotten saved. It was all new to him. It was all a blessing to him. Such a joy to him. How long has it been since you said, I wish the preacher would preach longer? How long has it been since you said, yes, that is possible. Y'all are looking at me funny. How long has it been since you said, I wish we'd have church every day? Just to kind of stir up your pure mind. You see it here in Scripture. They had just had it for 7 days. They wanted to have it for 7 more days. I'm not making this up. Look at it in your Bible. And then, how long has it been? Next thing. In verse 24, it says, Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. Now, that's quite a few, isn't it? Would you say that is just kind of extreme giving? How long has it been since you've kind of gone over the top in your generosity to God's work, God's causes? How long has it been? There's a joy out there. It leaves half-heartedness so far behind. How long has it been since you've done that? Since you've just done something that all the sane people around you would say, what in the world are you doing? What were you thinking? And yet, Here we have Hezekiah. I know he was a wealthy man, but he did that. What about that widow in the New Testament who had two mites and she gave two mites? It's crazy. And yet she did it. So here's Hezekiah. How long has it been since you've gone over the top in that? You might be amazed at what's on the other side of over the top. The joy that's there. How long has it been? Verse 25, it says, "And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, that dwelt in Judah," last word, "rejoiced." Now, here they were, the home folks from Judah, and the strangers who were really their brethren from up in Israel had finally gotten back together, and they had worshipped together, and now they were rejoicing together. How long has it been since you have rejoiced about the things of God and in the things of God with a stranger? Someone who is outside of our crowd. Now, I need to explain that. There is a spirit between believers that is very discernible. You know what I'm talking about. You ever just get around someone, they may have not said anything, you haven't said anything yet, and yet you sense it. This person is a believer. You sense it. I've learned at those times to test it. I will start talking about the Lord. I'll say something about the Lord. Almost every time that person is a believer, and I remember doing it some time ago. I was up at Home Depot in Commerce, and as I was there, I walked up to the customer service, and it was this little short black lady who was there, and she had the customer service "don't mess with me" look in her eye. You know what I'm talking about? I may have to be tough any moment, and so I'm going to have this kind of look ready, and I'm going to give it to everybody that comes up. And I walked up to that lady, but somehow I kind of sensed that behind that little grimace that she had, maybe a believer. And so I started talking to her about the Lord, and as soon as I said the first word, that grimace went away, this big, broad smile, and these 38 teeth. I know most of us just have 32. This lady had 38. Shone out there through her smile, and she was just rejoicing about the things of God. She had found another believer, and she was happy. You know, instantly, I liked that lady. Instantly, it was like we had known each other for 20 years. We were talking about stuff, subjects that you talk to your brother or your sister about. We were just, I thought, you know, I ought to invite her home to supper. And I thought, no, Bonnie probably wouldn't understand that if we came driving up together like that. But she it just felt like a sister, and we were rejoicing in the things of God. How long has it been since you've rejoiced with a stranger? You'll sense it. Just speak up. It's a blast. It really is, rejoicing with a stranger. Verse 26, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem." How long has it been since the grace of God has been so in the driver's seat in your life that you had great rejoicing? Or have you struggled through the last 6 months and you cannot think of one time when there was great joy in your heart? How often should the believer, God's child, experience great joy? Dare we think that a believer could have a moment of great joy once a month? Would that be too much to ask? Dare we presume a little more and think that a believer could have it once a week? Well, you know where this is going. Could you have moments of great joy every day? Of course. Then why not? we rob ourselves of the great joy by not letting the grace of God and the things of God have first place in our life by doing things half-heartedly. You know, one of the things about this spiritual gift of mercy, one of the things that we mercies enjoy is we love watching people have joy. If you want to make my day, just have some joy. I don't have to have the joy. I just, you know, watch you and I get the biggest kick out of it. We love that. How long has it been since you've had great joy? You'd, by the way, give me great joy if you'd go ahead and have some great joy. And then, the last verse here. I preached about this a few weeks back, but let me just hit it lightly. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Now, this is written by the prophet. The prophet knew, and we would assume that the people, the priests and all who were praying at that moment, knew that their prayer was getting up into heaven. It's just sensible that they did. You know when you're getting through, right? You can sense it in your heart. You know you're getting through. How long has it been since you knew that your prayers were bouncing off the golden street? Since you knew that the one sitting on the throne was intently listening to your prayers? Beloved, can I assure you that is the will of God for you? For you to pray every day and know that your prayers are heard in heaven. Beloved, the whole point of this is do not be satisfied with this subnormal Christianity. Have a revival in your heart where you reach out and you say, God, I want everything that you have for me. Everything you have for me, I want it. I want all the joy you've got. I want all the answered prayer. I want everything you have for me. Why should I rob myself? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?